The function of leadership is to produce more leaders, not more followers. Leaders of Men.
Welcome to Leaders of Men. I'm your host, Nick Warner. In a society that yearns for legitimate male role models, I speak to men that are forging the pathway to a healthy, integrated masculinity. This week's episode, I speak to the essential man, Soma Miller. Soma has spent the last two decades in pursuit of gathering the tools to awaken human potential. He's a big picture systems thinker, piecing together ancient inner spiritual technologies with a modern, practical and embodied approach to growth, awareness and development. He coaches men to uncover their true essence, deepest values and gifts, so they have the inner resources and confidence to boldly create meaningful and inspired lifestyles and relationships. I hope you enjoy.
Soma Miller, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
Excellent. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for being here and for being a part of this. Let's just jump straight into it. The first question, what does masculinity mean to you?
Masculinity, it's for me, it's an ongoing exploration of what that means, because, you know, it's a human defined concept, and we all make meaning out of our words and our language, and that those sort of interpretations, which are based on the filters of our culture, can make even trying to grasp these terms in sort of a intellectual, philosophical, cognitive way kind of difficult from my perspective, if I'm really honest about it. But if I were to try to put into words what to me is more a quality of being or an energetic experience, it's the energetic experience of number one, stillness, like the kind of stillness that permeates and penetrates everything in existence. And it's an experience, and this is just another term for maybe a similar experience, is what I would call consciousness, which is being awake. And that this is a continual practice, you know, it's a continually expanding infinite practice, because I don't think, you know, unless we're maybe lucky enough to find enlightenment in this lifetime, most of us will not achieve, like, you know, full consciousness. But I do believe that's part of our work in this lifetime collectively. And that consciousness is, you know, it's kind of being able to see the deepest truth in everything, have an experience that is beyond the conditioning of our mind and our society, and it's, you know, ultimately an experience of deep presence, because we are, you know, everything that is not in the present moment is, you know, whether it's our projections about the future, most of that's, in my understanding, tied to our past, which, you know, collectively we have a pretty dark past with a lot of trauma and pain that, you know, we're all carrying to one degree or another. And you know, one way to sort of work with or transcend that pain, and it doesn't mean we're escaping it, it's just, it's a matter of, like, you know, integration and opening through it, is to live with that presence And so, you know, I think that's another great, you know, all those kind of pieces together, which, you know, can kind of mean the same thing on some level, but they're, you know, they're all experiential to me. And, you know, there's definitely, you know, cultural definitions of masculinity that I believe, you know, permeate those three qualities if we tease them apart, but those are the primary ones to me.
Deep answer straight off the bat, mate. Thank you. If you had a 12-year-old son, what is the most significant thing he needs to know?
I would say, yeah, the most significant thing is that he's loved and accepted just as he is, that he's seen and honored for his uniqueness and his beauty, and I mean it's hard to pick one thing, but I would say, yeah, it's mostly about love, you know, this sort of unconditional loving acceptance.
Beautiful. What is your deepest desire?
I would say my deepest desire is to see humanity create a new culture based on these experiences of consciousness, to see, you know, a flourishing culture that all things are considered, and a sense of acknowledgement that, you know, we're all so deeply intertwined and interconnected as humans, as part of the greater ecosystem, and you know, to see culture move in a direction where we're making our choices based on that deep sense of understanding that, you know, in order for all of us to thrive, we've got to honor each other. We've got to honor the earth. We've got to have a lot more compassion, empathy, and we got to be willing to be deeply honest and integrity. And integrity. Yeah.
That's quite something to imagine, isn't it? A society or a new culture based on love rather than fear.
Yeah. And I think that's really great, simple way to put it. You know, I think collectively we've been moving from this, you know, reptilian part of our brains that's living in fear and scarcity, and from that comes this desire to control and dominate.
Amazing, man. What is an uncomfortable truth?
An uncomfortable truth for me?
Yeah.
I would say the biggest uncomfortable truth that I'm currently facing and being confronted with in my life, and, you know, I think this is hard for me to name without context, but, you know, currently this is my work, because the context that I want to frame it in sort of puts me into this feeling like a victim of circumstance, and my work right now is to kind of own what's here, despite how anybody else may have contributed to this outcome. So my truth right now is, I haven't seen my daughter or spoken to her in I guess it's been about 2.5 months now. She's 15, and currently she's not wanting to spend time with me. She's not wanting to connect with me, and she's got a lot of reasons why that she considers my responsibility. And yeah, I think it's hard for me to be with not only the grief of missing my daughter's growing up in the world, and you know, I think one of the hardest parts of it is I would say not being able to give my fatherly gifts to her. You know, I feel kind of, you know, that's another place where I can go into the victim around it, but that's, there's a lot of pain there because you know, my purpose for like being a father, and that was a big part of my purpose for the last 15 or so years. I can't do that right now, or at least it feels that way. I'm sure there's still a way I can bring her that gift, even if we're not engaging, but currently that's kind of where I'm at in the process.
I honor you for bringing that vulnerability. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that leads to the next question, which is, what is your most profound pain in this moment?
Yeah, it's definitely connected to that. I think the pain, I mean, there's fear in it for me. Because, you know, my fear is that she's, you know, not going to want to see me for years. And I've seen how this, you know, there's this common occurrence in sort of, separated families, and sometimes, you know, parents go years without seeing their kids. So that really scares me, and so that fear creates a lot of pain. And because I would say that's probably one of my deepest fears, is losing my daughter, you know, losing, like who knows what could happen, you know, either one of us might die, you know, and that scares the shit out of me.
Thank you. Let's change the pace a little. When was the last time you were out of integrity?
Probably yesterday. I mean, for me, integrity is like a constantly moving target, and it's kind of like that idea of consciousness, like that. I find it hard, and for myself, and hard to imagine anybody that's entirely in integrity. And I guess we would have to, you know, maybe define what integrity is to the individual to really look at that in depth. But for me, it's integrity for me is living, like having all my choices align with my deepest values, choices, actions, words. And that for me, it's one of the deepest spiritual practices. And yeah, I'm just going to name it because, it's funny, cause it's not something I normally engage in, but I know a lot of men struggle with this, and you know, on top of, I'm just going to give a little more context, because on top of my daughter being absent right now, my partner of 3 years just is taken, going away for a couple of months. She's going to stay in Costa Rica. So, you know, last night I think I was feeling a lot of that pain, and probably not wanting to fully feel it, you know, which is one of my values, is to like really be willing to face the uncomfortable parts of my human experience. And so I looked at some pornography last night, you know, I don't have a lot of qualms with like pornography per se. You know, I think it's a personal choice and we all have our own way of relating to that. But what did feel out of integrity was sort of the escapism aspect of it.
The porn issue is something that I've written a bit about, and I used to have a pretty, I was going to say healthy, but it's absolutely not, a pretty heavy addiction to it. And there was one moment, maybe 6 months ago, where I'd been off it for a couple of years, and I was just like, you know what? I want to have a look. And it just, I made the choice, didn't feel great about it. But actually, I was happy that I was able to make that choice and then continue on in a different direction to what I had in the past. But it is, it's such an issue for a lot of men. I just, there's a recent statistic that I read up until like prior to 2006, less than 3% of men had, under 40, had erectile dysfunction problems. Since YouPorn and RedTube and all these streaming sites came on board end of 2006, up to 37% of men under 40 have these problems now. So it is a massive issue for a lot of men. So I appreciate you speaking to that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing the statistic. It gets me curious about the connection there. I'm curious if it's like, are they experiencing erectile issues in their relationships as a result of, you know, needing this high stimulation kind of experience? Are you aware?
I think it comes down to a habit of masturbation and how they do it. And it's this, once you train your brain that this is the type of arousal you need, once the dopamine hits, then you need more excessive and more excessive until eventually the vanilla porn that you're looking at in the beginning becomes violent and aggressive porn. And then you're with your partner and suddenly you can't get it up because she's not what you're looking at in porn.
Right. Makes sense.
So yeah, that's a whole new world of pain, that one.
Yeah.
What are you most afraid of?
Well, I think I shared that answer earlier. I mean, I think on top of that, it's probably connected in some way. What's coming up for me is this fear that I'll get to the end of my life not feeling like I've fully given my gifts, like I've held back in some way or haven't been able to turn them on completely.
Yeah, that resonates deeply. Now, much lighter, what is it you are creating?
For some reason that doesn't feel light to me. I don't know why. What am I creating? I'm creating a lot. And I think that question, I'm wondering why that question creates a little anxiety for me actually. And, part of that, I just want to unpack that a little bit. Like I think part of it is naming it, you know, more collectively, maybe creates a little more accountability to it. And I think the other sort of trigger in there for me is the parts of me that are not 100% certain, you know? But if I were to try to name it as best as I can. I'm inspired to create. And I, wouldn't say I'm successful at this yet, but I'm inspired to create, number one, a new culture of masculinity that really touches on some of those elements that I spoke of at the beginning, where, you know, collectively this culture of men are helping each other to level up our consciousness, to level up our presence, to level up our ability to bring our deepest gifts forward into the world, and that those gifts are inspired by a true desire to be in service of that vision that I spoke of creating a global culture that's honorable and reverential to, you know, our interdependence. And, you know, so part of it is leading men to step into that, leading men to step into their leadership, so that we can, you know, start to create these concentric ripple effects throughout the world and have consciousness permeate culture as much as possible, as quickly as possible.
Beautiful. What would you like to be known for?
That's a good question. I would say I'd like to be known for my capacity to love and that I would say that love being translated into tangible action and tangible manifestation of, you know, my how love wants to move through me, which is a lot of what I spoke of earlier, you know, just this culture I want to create, this desire to create more beauty in the world. And yeah, I think that's it.
Well, from what I know of you, you're doing pretty well at that so far. I've been following you since your early days of Instagram, and very inspiring what you're doing. Thanks. What would you love for men to know with every fiber of their being?
I would say that you are powerful, powerful beyond measure, that everything you do, everything you think, everything you feel, everything you speak has a ripple effect, and that, you know, no, accessing both that power, which to me is a divine power in a way that we all have access to, needs to be coupled with high level of sensitivity to that impact, to how, you know, the ripple effect of our movement through the world, and that, you know, this kind of old paradigm of masculinity that I believe we're moving away from is, you know, this like need to make our mark, you know, to feel powerful. And to me, that that sensitivity, which might be our own feminine side, that the ability to feel, is really necessary. You know, we're all going to make a mark. There's no doubt about that. But what, you know, are we leaving behind scars? Yeah. Or are we, you know, healing those scars? And that's the mark that we leave.
Mm. Brother, that's the 10 questions. Your answers, the vulnerability and the depth of those answers were just really special. So I honor you for that. And thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I really enjoyed digging in and thanks for creating the space, holding the container and the invitation. I felt safe to go there with you.
Thank you. Before you go, what is it you've got on offer? What are your workshops and your programs and your coaching?
So about a month out, I'm going to be launching a couple of different things. So 12-week program that is going to be focused on, it's actually going to be a series of 12-week programs with different focus. The first one's going to be about self-healing, and reparenting the inner child, healing some of our father wounds. The second aspect of the program is going to be focused on our relationships and our relationships as men, in particular to the feminine, to our mother wounds, and sharpening those relationship skills on both intimacy, vulnerability level, as well as sexually. And then the last part, and these can be taken individually or as a group, but the last 12-week, which will be in the fall, is going to be focused on finding our purpose and creating a vision for our life. And, you know, all these will include an in-person retreat. So there'll be 3 retreats happening this year. And then on top of that, I got a lot of offerings right now. On top of that, kind of coupled with those 3 trainings, I'm going to be leading a small group of men through an embodied men's work, men's coaching facilitation training, like a level 1 training. So those men that want to help support and hold that container and get some one-on-one coaching with me will be stepping into that.
Amazing, brother.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you don't know Soma's work, check him out, The Essential Man. He's, as I said before, incredibly inspiring and really, really beautiful man in the space. So thanks for showing up and thanks for your responses.
Thank you so much for putting this together, Nick.
All right, brother. Thank you.